Welcome to New Generation Church with Eddie Garcia.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, as we prepare to enter this, the word this morning, if you could open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. We're going to be reading verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes. Too many S's in there for me to pronounce it correctly in English. I'm kind of Spanglish myself, so forgive me. Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. Chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Thank God for our media team, for the work that they do. Give them a clap offering. Amen. They give us that ability to be able to make it easier on us, on you guys. That sometimes you don't even have to bring your Bible. You guys get to read it right there on the screen. Amen. You should be clapping even harder. Amen. But thank God for those that still bring their Bible. Praise God. We're no condemnation, no knocking anybody here. We just saying it. Saying what it is like, right? Amen. So are we there? Amen. I'm going to read it out of the New Living Translation. You can follow me there in the screen. But the word of the Lord says like this: in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, verse 9, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Verse 10, if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Verse 11, likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Hallelujah. The title of my message this morning is simple. It is teamwork. Teamwork. Turn to your neighbor and tell them teamwork. Teamwork. You guys all probably heard the saying, teamwork makes the dream work. That's right. Teamwork makes the dream work. And teamwork creates servanthood, and servanthood creates a leadership team. That's why Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, two people are better than one. Hallelujah. How many of you know that it's better to have somebody there for you? So that if you fall, the Bible says, he or she can pick you up. That's how you succeed in life. A lot of the people that are successful, if they're honest, they're going to say, you know what? I didn't arrive where I'm at today on my own accord. I had help on the way. How many can say amen? Success comes with a team. There's no lone rangers in God's kingdom. Amen. So in order to be successful, you need to surround yourself around a good team. Because it is true, teamwork does make the dream work. In order for us to have the church that we have today, it has taken teamwork. To be able to build, to be able to fulfill the vision that God has deposited on the man of God, on the pastor of this church. It's taken a collective. It's taken a team to take that vision and to run with it and to fulfill it. I've shared with you guys. You guys have seen some of the pictures on Facebook on what this building used to look like. Right? It didn't used to look like it looks now. It's beautiful now, but when we first came into this building, it wasn't as nice as it looks now. But with work, with teamwork, it has become what it is today. How many can say hallelujah? So in order for the vision to take place, we have to work together, church. We have to be a team, church. We have to be in unity. If there's something that the enemy hates and the enemy cannot stand, is a church that is united, a church that is together. Why? Because there's power in unity. If that clap offering was for me, that's good. But if you're going to give it to the Lord, come on, show some more enthusiasm. Praise the Lord. Now we're talking. Come on. Hallelujah. We have to, church. We have to stay together. We cannot allow anything to divide us. We cannot allow anything to come in between us. You know, people are paranoid. People are panicked. But you know what? God is still on the throne. God has not left his throne. God is still a sovereign God, and God will take care of his people. Team. It's an acronym. If you want to write it down, now's a good time to get your notepad out, your phone, or whatever you're going to take notes with, because I'm going to give you an acronym, TEAM. The T stands for together. The T stands for together. The E in TEAM is for everyone. The A is for achieves. And the M is for more. So the word team, T-E-A-M, together everyone achieves more. Together everyone achieves more. Together we can get further. Together we can accomplish more as a church. But there has to be a team. If there is not a team that is in unity, we cannot accomplish anything. How many say amen? How many have heard of Mount Everest? Amen. Let me see your hands. How many have heard of Mount Everest? It's a big mountain, right? There's people that have conquered Mount Everest. There's people that have climbed Mount Everest, but you've never heard of people conquering Mount Everest alone. There's always a team. There's always a guide. There's always people that are together pushing each other. They're tied to each other with the rope, and they're pushing each other to achieve more, to climb higher and higher, to not settle for the elevation that they've gotten to, but to seek to strive for more. And that is part of teamwork, church. That is part of togetherness. There's power in the cluster. There's power in the unity. In order for there to be wine, there has to be a crushing. There has to be a crushing of the grapes of the cluster so that it can produce the wine that it produces. And likewise, church, you and I are like those grapes that when we're crushed, we produce. We produce wine. We produce oil. How many are understanding what I'm saying? What I'm saying, and let me put it simple, that I need you. I need you. And you need me. We need each other, church. We need each other as a team. to be able to go out and conquer, to be able to be the light, to be able to go out and witness to this world that there is another way, that you don't no longer have to be addicted to drugs or alcohol, that you don't have to live in adultery or fornication, that there is another way to live, and that way is Jesus Christ. Don't get scared, those that are visiting. All right? This is how we preach here. Where we get a little excited at times, but it's all good. Amen. So nobody climbs Mount Everest alone. It requires a team to carry the rope, to carry the oxygen bottle, to carry they carry these little hammers, like these little pike poles that they call them, to be able to, you know, chip away at some of the hard snow. They carry canes to help them, you know, pull themselves along. And at the same time, you need a team. You need a team. Why? Because that other team member is the one that's going to tell you, ¿sabes qué? You know what? Don't stop. Keep going. Shake yourself off. Get that discouragement out of your mind. You can conquer this mountain. I don't know about you, but there's times where I get discouraged. And I need somebody to come alongside me and pat me in the back and say, keep on going, Eddie. Don't stop. You can do this. You can conquer. I'm on your team. I got your back. Hello, somebody. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other to succeed. And this is Bible. This is not something that I made up, as much as I would want to, so I can look smart and sound smart. But you know what? This is straight out of the Bible. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other to succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and he can help them up. To be able to go far, we need each other, church. The Bible says that two are better than one. Look for opportunities to pick others up. I'm going to say that again. Look for opportunities to pick others up. It is easy, church, to criticize. It is easy to be a Monday morning quarterback and say, I would have done this like that, or I would have done this like that, or you know what? I wouldn't have done that. Hello, somebody. Anybody know people like that? If I was Pastor Eddie, I wouldn't have picked Gray. Gray's, it's not black, it's not white, it's in between. I would have picked a different color for the church. And why did he pick blue rug? Blue doesn't go with gray. You know, and people start to criticize. People start to give their opinion. But we don't need critics at NGC. We need people that want to join the team. People that want to follow the vision. People that are ready to submit themselves and surrender it all to God and allow themselves to be pastored. Allow themselves to be led. We already have plenty of chiefs. We need more Indians. Hallelujah. How many can praise God? How many can give God glory? We need people. We need you, church. We need to look for opportunities. And a quick disclaimer, no offense to anybody that's Indian in here. Okay? Just a saying. Nowadays, you don't know. Nowadays, you got to be careful with what you say. So looking for opportunities to pick others up. You know, if God took you out of a lifestyle of addiction, then when you see an addict, you lift that person up. You tell him, you know what? God changed my life from addiction. He can do the same with you. You know what? I used to live in an adulterous life, and God can do the same for you. God can set you free. God can change your marriage. God can change your children. Take advantage, church, of the opportunities to pick others up, to lift them up, to tell them, "Sabes qué, dust yourself off, shake yourself off. You can do it. You can make it. You're greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Number five, if they stumble, they have you and me. We'll say that again. If they stumble, they have you and me to pick them up, to encourage them. You know, there's people that's why they come to God's house, because they're tired of the world beating them up. They're tired of people at work criticizing them. So they come to the house of God. They don't come to be put down. They come because they want to be encouraged. They want to be lifted up. They want somebody to tell them that, you know what, you can do it regardless of the status quo. So if they stumble, they have you and they have me. Sometimes you're going to stumble, church. Sometimes you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. You're going to get cold. You're going to wander off. But that's why you have your brothers and your sisters at New Generation Church that are going to lift you up, that are going to encourage you, that are going to help you to find your way back to the house of God. How many can say amen? Unity brings warmth. I'm going to say that again. Number six, unity brings warmth. Verse 11 says, "Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone?" Let me tell you something, church. In God's house, in God's family, in God's team, there is no such thing as a lone ranger. There's no such thing as going out and doing God's work by yourself. Bring somebody along with you. Bring somebody that is stronger in the faith. Bring somebody that knows how to do spiritual warfare. How many can say amen? Why? Because there's power in numbers. There's power in unity. There's power in the numbers. Verse 12 says, "A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer." That means that if you and I, we come in agreement and we do things together and we stand back to back, there's nothing that we can conquer. There's nothing that can rise up. There's nothing that can come against us and stop us. Why? Because you got my back and I got your back. Let me say that again. I got your back, you got my back. Nothing can stop us. We can conquer anything. We can conquer any mountain. Nothing can stop us. Why? Because we're united together and we have Jesus in our lives. We have God that is in control. We have his Holy Spirit. We have the warmth of each other. We're climbing mountains together. We're not alone. I don't know if you're here today and you feel alone. Now, let me tell you, you're not alone. If you're here, you have a brother. You have a sister. You're not alone. We are here for you. Just connect with your brother or your sister. A lot of times you feel alone. But that's because you come to God's house and you don't connect with anyone. You come, you take care of your business with God, and there's nothing wrong with that. Praise the Lord. But you need to connect with brothers or sisters, you need to build a community. You need to be part of a group. You need to come to discipleship, to prayer, to get involved in the ministry during the week, because you cannot survive on Sunday morning preaching only. It's like your car. If the alternator is not working and you drive your car just on the battery, with time, little by little, that battery is going to drain. It'll work. It'll run for a little bit, but it'll come a point where all the energy, where all the strength of that battery is going to be depleted. And you're going to go and try to crank that engine, and all you're going to hear is click, 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 click. Amen? That's why it's important to come to God's house. This is where God charges your battery. This is where God gives you the strength. This is where you and I come and we connect with each other. And if my battery is low, I might ask you, you know what, you got cables? I need a jump start this morning. How many need a jump start this morning? Come on, be honest. Do you need a jump start this morning? Well, let me tell you that God's here. The Holy Spirit is here. The cables are here. And God wants to jumpstart your spiritual life this morning. He wants to tell you, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to give you that jumpstart that you need. But it's up to you to fix the alternator. The alternator is that relationship with you and God and with the community of believers at NGC. To keep you going, to keep you running, to that when you get sick, you have somebody to call and tell them, you know what, brother, sister, pray over me because I'm feeling sick. I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling like I can't no more. I need somebody to cover me in prayer. And that brother, that sister is there. Why? Because they're part of your team. They're part of your team. They're not there. You're not there. I'm not there to criticize. I'm not there to put you down. I'm there to come in agreement with you and to say, you know what? Let's pray. Let's bind this spirit. Let's bind this sickness. Let's charge you up so that you can keep on going. So there's power in numbers, church. And there's power if we stand back to back so that we can conquer anything. Number 9, it goes as far as even to say that 3 are better than 2. And when I was reading this, I thought right away, I thought 3. I was like, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then there's my brother and my sisters. So you got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then you got your brothers and your sisters. I don't know about you, but that's starting to sound like a team. It's starting to sound like a team. And remember what we said at the beginning, teamwork makes the, amen, teamwork makes the dream work. And together, everyone what? Achieves more. Right? So together, everyone achieves more. Together, you and I can accomplish more. But there has to be that decision, church, to join the team. And that decision, only you can make. That decision lies in you and me. In other words, God says, you know what? The ball is in your court. Now it's up to you whether you want what you want to do with it. You want to hold on to it? You want to score? Or you want to just throw it away? It's up to you. But you got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a team, your brothers and your sisters that are there. They're ready. They're ready to help you. They're ready to lift you up. They're ready to encourage you. They're ready to meet your needs. But you have to make that decision. I remember when I first started coming to church, I was really private. I still am a little bit. You know, if it wasn't for Facebook, you guys wouldn't know much about me. even my best friend, I hardly ever go to him, even though he's my best friend. I just, there's only the big issues. But for the most part, I keep everything to myself. I talk to God about it, but on Facebook, a lot of people know a lot about me now because sometimes I'll throw some stuff out there, like eating, for example. I like to break bread. I like to eat. Amen. So, but the what I'm trying to say, church, that I need to make the decision. If I'm struggling, I need to find my friend, somebody that I trust, somebody on my team. You see, that's the reason why it's important to have a team. See, because a team's going to cover you. A team's going to protect your identity, your team. Somebody that is not part of your team, they're going to hear some cheese. And they're gonna spread it, or maybe not cheese, but they're gonna say that you're feeling weak, because you come at a time, a vulnerable time, seeking help, seeking prayer, and instead of encouraging you because they're not part of your team, they will expose you. How many understand what I'm saying? So that's why it is important, church, to have a team, to have unity, to have communion. You know, and I took off my glasses, and I think I could see you guys further better. And right now, when I was saying that, I could see some of you guys like, oh man, this guy's talking about me. And believe me, when I was preparing this message, I didn't have you in mind at all. But the Holy Spirit is ministering to you this morning. The Holy Spirit is speaking into your life. Don't harden your heart. Receive what God is telling you this morning through this vessel. God wants you to get in community. God wants you to get connected, to stay connected. Some of you guys have fallen out of connection. Some of you guys have fallen out of unity. And it's not the church, because the church is still here. It's not the leaders, because the leaders are still here. It's not the brothers and the sisters, because they're still here. It's you. I'm going to say that again. It's you. It's not me. I haven't moved. I'm still here. You know, you don't even know how many times that has helped me with brothers and sisters that say, "Ay, brother, you think you're too good because you don't call no more, or I don't see you no more." I say, "You know what, brother? You know what, sister? I'm still in the same place. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, you know where you can find me. And that's in God's house." Why? Because there's consistency. And that's why I'm saying it's not the church, it's not the brothers, it's not the leaders, it's not the pastors, it's you. You have disconnected. Okay. I'm going to keep going because I see your face, and some of you guys are getting uncomfortable. Let me put my glasses back on. This blocks everything right here. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 15:58. You know, when you're part of a team, you become a servant. You serve others. You serve. Even though you have a title, you're still a servant. Even though you're a boss, even though you're a leader, even though you've been promoted, you're still a servant. That's what got you the title in the first place. Because you learn how to work in a team. You learn how to work as a servant. And somebody's seen the potential of you and they say, "You know what? We're going to give this person a title as leader, as a boss. Supervisor." Hello, somebody. Because you're a servant. We're there, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Man, I'm not even going to be able to finish this message. Yeah, I'm starting to get me preocupé. I'm worried now. "So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that one more time. It says, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Everything that you do, God takes note. I'm going to say that again. Everything that you do, God takes note, church. So you serving is creating a leader in you. You being available is creating a leader within you. What is service? Service is the action of help or doing work for someone. I'm going to say that again. Service is the action of help or doing work for someone. In other words, you're taking action. And that's what makes you different, that you're not willing to just stand by and see the souls perish. You are one that takes action. And little by little, you've been coming to God's house and you've been serving and you've been serving. You've been taking action. You've been taking action and God has seen your action. And God is opening doors because now you have become a servant leader. Hello, somebody. And let me tell, look at the difference. Between, if you're taking notes, you could put like one side traditional leader, and then on the other side you can put servant leader. Your traditional leader, they see leadership as a rank or a position to obtain. But this is you, the servant leader, you see leadership as an opportunity to serve and to shine for God's glory. How many can say amen? I'm going to say that again. As a servant leader, you see leadership as an opportunity to serve and to shine for God's glory. That's the difference between traditional leader and servant leadership. Number two. Your traditional leader, they use power to control, to drive performance. I'm going to say that again. Your traditional leader, your boss at work, the person that doesn't have God in their life, they use power to control and to drive performance. Now, number two, as a servant leader, as a leader in church, as a leader for the kingdom, your servant leader shares the power to drive engagement. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. Your servant leader shares the power to drive engagement. What does that mean, Brother Eddie? That means that you don't have to tell people to do it because they're happy to serve. They're servant leaders. So that gives them the power to drive engagement. I don't know, but are you guys catching the message? There's a big difference, church, between serving in the kingdom and serving in the secular world. And that's the difference, church. That's the big difference maker that a lot of people think that because they have a title out there in the secular world, they can have a title in the kingdom. But here, it is different. We operate differently. Remember on Wednesday, I was talking about mercy. That right here, you know, if you receive mercy, you should give mercy. Amen? Now in the world, they're not going to tell you anything about mercy. They say, no, you're late. It comes out of your paycheck. Oh, you're not going to be here. Okay, well, where do you want me to get it? From your vacation time or from your sick leave? No mercy. It's business. Hello, somebody. And these are principles that I'm teaching you that you can apply them in the secular world. Why? Because they're kingdom principles. They're things that the business can benefit, but we can't bring the business world into the church because there's a difference. Hello, somebody. There's a difference. We want to empower people to drive engagement. We want you to feel the power of the Holy Spirit because the power of the Holy Spirit is the driving force. That's why we talk about mercy. That's why we talk about grace. That's why we talk about forgiveness. And that is something that if you're not in the kingdom, they're not going to talk to you about it in the business world. Hello, somebody. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? But the principles that you learn in the kingdom, you can apply them out there. What you're learning here. You can apply it here and you can apply it there. As a matter of fact, some of you guys have positions out there in the business world, in the secular world, because you know kingdom principles, because you know godly order, because you've learned in church and you've been able to apply yourself out there because God has given you favor, because God has opened your understanding. God has taken you to a different dimension. God has taken you to a different level. So you know that you're not trying just to please your boss. You're there because you're serving God. And you know that God's a God of excellence. And you're there to serve, to work with excellence, regardless of what the haters say. Regardless of what your neighbors, your friends at work say. You're there because you believe in God. And you know that God placed you there to serve with excellence, because you are a servant leader, not just a traditional leader. Number three, I'm going to start landing the plane. Your traditional leader, they love to speak. This needs to get done. That needs to get done. Boom, boom, boom. And they just start pointing all kinds of things. Traditional leader. But then you have your servant leader. Your servant leader, all he does is listen. Your servant leader knows how to listen. I'm going to say that again. Servant leaders, they know how to listen. You're not always supposed to have the last word. You're not supposed to be the one that always is talking. There's times where you have to just zip it and listen. Listen. Hello, somebody. I know God's speaking to two or three of you guys. Because you're listening. Number four. Your traditional leader believes that it's all about them. I'm going to say that again. Your traditional leader believes that it's all about them. They fear me. I'm the boss. I'm the big kahuna. I'm the man. So they believe it's all about them, that everything's happening because of them. But your servant leader, he or she understands it's not about them. I'll say that again. Your servant leader understands that it's not about them, that it's all about the teamwork. It's all about the teamwork, church. You miss a perfect opportunity to give the Lord a clap offering. I'm going to say that one more time. The servant leader understands it's not about them. It's about the teamwork, church. There you go. You got it. Some of you guys are a little slow, but you get it. I'm just messing with you guys. I'm having fun this morning. Amen. So I'm going to give you some real quick points because I'm already there at the runway. It says, I wrote down, are you willing to set aside to serve? Are you willing to set aside your time? Are you willing to set aside your title? Are you willing to set aside your treasure? Here's a big one. Are you willing to set aside your temperament? Hello? Are you willing to set aside your temperament? And finally, are you willing to set aside your time to serve others? You know, and the greatest example, church, is Jesus of service. Because I'm going to show you guys what this is, the last verse that I'm going to read, and I promise you we're going to pray. It says in John 13, verses 4 and 5, if you guys can help me with the last verse, Sister Joanna, please. John chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. It says, so he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, verse 5, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. We're talking about our God. We're talking about Jesus right there. That's what the Bible, that's who they're talking about. Jesus, the rabbi, God in the flesh. He gets up when he's with the 12 disciples. And in order, and instead of them washing his feet, he gets up and he gets a basin and he gets water. And he begins to wash their feet. He leads by example. And that is what God is looking for, church. A team that is willing to wash feet. A team that is not moved because of a title. A team that is not worried about time. A team that is not stressed about having to invest their treasure. A team that is willing to work in their temperament. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. What a perfect example, church, of what it is to work is in a team. Jesus could have did it all alone, but yet he picked 12 because he knew there's power in teamwork. He wanted to teach us that principle. That teamwork does make the dream work. What he taught these 12 disciples, we are still preaching it today, 2,000 plus years later. What he taught them alive, what he taught them an example, is what we're teaching you this morning. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, church.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.